Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos of Baltimore. We are home from Las Vegas, Nevada. I have some fun pictures up on social media. I feel like I hung out with the whole Rat Pack out on the strip last week in lieu of missing Super Bowl 59 or whatever the hell it was. The Back to the Future scratch-offs will be available at Fadley's once I get through my seasonal allergies here and figure out my vision, thanks to Brian Granick. I will get everything. I will see things more clearly when the Baltimore Orioles start winning some baseball games. Luke, I
Might be a while.
I dude, I tell you what, man, I spent 3.5 days in Las Vegas with nothing but hardcore Maryland people. And I don't mean University of Maryland. I mean like Baltimore. It's a real estate convention that's turned into this thing that's much bigger than that. And I know Fox 45 did a takedown on the mayor the other day. It's silly. It's stupid. I'll be glad to answer to it. I was featured in it. So I got a lot of email on it over the weekend. But I would just say the one thing everybody there had in common, they all love the Ravens, who did a big cornhole tournament in the corner with a bunch of executives, a bunch of business people. And they all love the Orioles, man. And the Ravens and the Orioles are, you know, this glue thing that when you go to that kind of an event with 2,000 people, I couldn't stop talking about the Orioles. There was no point where people would approach me about, how's your wife? I listen to you and Luke. How's your business? What is it? But they would always, hey, before you go, what do you think of the Hyde thing? And as it unfolded in Elias and Rubenstein were nowhere to be found. And you and I followed up. We did a piece, I believe, on Sunday night. My days and nights are all confused. There was a lot going on this week, including the holiday this weekend. But this losing streak, and they're losing every night. And, you know, you and I are getting after it after the Tuesday night loss, which will beget the Wednesday afternoon game. And the season's over. Elias finally spoke. He did it in Milwaukee. It was 72 hours plus after the firing. I talked to Alan for over an hour. If anybody's tuning in, if you're at a Baltimore Positive, Alan called me on Saturday night. I'm in Vegas. He's like, I need to come on. I need to talk about this. I just got to vent. And that's the vibe I have from every single person. People are coming up to me by the end of the week and they, I know you don't want to talk about this, but I need to know what you think about the Hyde thing. And I kept saying scapegoat, right? I think there's an owner who doesn't know what he's, I mean, the long and short, I said this 100 times. Owner doesn't know what he's doing. Manager got fired. That's typical. General manager kept his job. Maybe typical for the time being, but just all sorts of awful stuff's about to happen here with sell-off pieces. Who's doing it? Who's blaming who? I already got the David Rubenstein bobblehead where they have, instead of him throwing out the hat, he's giving out a bag to put over your
I
head.
saw that. I saw that.
I didn't even share it, but you know.
Yeah. I mean, I vented so much through the first going on close to 2 months now, or we're almost 2 months into this thing. I don't know how much venting I have left to do at this point in time. I mean, it's just, you know, the quote from Mike Elias was, oh, it was a pretty hectic few days. I just needed a couple days. So he talks in Milwaukee for in front of a fraction of the reporters that would have been in Baltimore Saturday afternoon or Sunday morning or Sunday after the game. You know, it's weak leadership. I wrote that. I said that to you Sunday night. I'll continue to
How
say
about you
that.
just handle this professionally? I
Sure.
mean, seriously, call John Maroon, call
I
Rick
mean, if you
Vaughn,
have.
call Kevin Burke, call somebody. Well, not Kevin Burke, call somebody who will help you handle this professionally and tell you the right way to do it. Call Chris Pyka. I mean, call somebody who's a grown-up and say, we need to front face this brand in an authentic, legitimate, high integrity, high character, high everything after what's happened here for 30 years.
I mean, it doesn't even have to be that complex. Just answer questions over the weekend. Answer the questions before you leave town.
Honestly, and be honest.
I mean, there's only so, and in defense of Mike Elias right now, not in defense of his body of work over the last, you know, going back to the off season and even before then, if you want to, there's nothing he's going to say at this point in time that's going to appease fans. There's nothing that's going to be said that's going to fix this overnight. We know that, right? So it's damage control at best. But to not get in front of the media, to not get in front of your fans, most importantly, because ultimately media is the liaison for speaking to your fans,
It's
to
really
not do
going
that over the
around, right? I mean,
weekend.
the Ravens do this all the time. I mean, Andrews walked off the podium in Buffalo. Like, this is just not having accountabilities.
I just, but I
It's
just,
just everywhere. It really
it's
is.
just,
It's frustrating.
it's weak to say that you needed a couple of days when Jackson Holliday, who's 21 years old, was the first player that was asked about it on Saturday afternoon. I mean, the players all had to be asked about it. Tony Mancelino's been thrown to the wolves now to answer for this before and after games. I mean,
Jason Frank Robinson, per your notes, right? Yeah.
it's weak leadership, and you know, I'm not going to back down from that. I don't think there was anything overly illuminating or earth-shattering or all that terribly notable that came from his session in Milwaukee. I wish we had gotten a little more clarity on whether the expectation at this point is that Mancelino is going to manage the rest of the year, or are they going to at least explore hiring a permanent manager? I understand your pool of candidates is different in June, July, August, September compared to the off-season when any coach and every coach is potentially available. So, but that wasn't really verbalized. Wasn't specifically asked. But again, this is part of the problem when you only have a few reporters who are covering the team every single day and regularly in front of him compared to, I don't know, a dozen, 15, however many that would have been there Sunday morning had they done
Not
that.
to mention
But
to people like me that they would lock out, who would come to those kind of press conferences in the old days, because if there was a press conference of that ilk, every Scott
be a lot
Garceau,
of people,
Keith
sure.
Mills, Mark Viviano, myself, like, we would
Sure.
all be there.
No question.
All that's gone away. There are no columnists, there's no nothing.
Well,
And
and
it's weak, man. It's just weak all the way around. For
it is.
what this community's given to these people, and I see what the checks, the kind of people at the pool have written for sponsorships and just all the things that make stadiums run, and too much, a lot is given to these people. This is not a lot of ask for guys making millions of dollars to have professionalism, front-facing authenticity, and brand and self-awareness, and some sort of emotional intelligence about the trauma that this fan base has endured, which is what I told the Whistler on opening day. It's what I told David Rubenstein when I shook his hand on a in a temple. I shook his hand and I said, "Mr. Rubenstein, there's been a lot of trauma here." They don't want to explore that. None of them want to face, as my dear friend Mike Peters once wrote from The Alarm, absolute reality. Absolute reality. Last place, no fans, Masson backing down, sport having problems, imbalance in revenue to begin with, neophyte owner, young players not producing. I mean, the only problem they don't really have is they don't have Chris Davis money on the books. One thing that they don't have is dumb money anywhere. So, check mark for that, but I don't know that they have anything in place from Rubenstein to Elias to Mancelino to their media relations to their marketing to what Masson is to what they're going to do with the stadium with Katie Griggs to how they're what they're going to be when they go. I don't know that there's any strategy or blueprint. And I know the blueprint and strategy for baseball from Mr. Rubenstein's perspective was, I got a genius. I don't have to worry about baseball. I mean, I got Elias, I got Hyde, I got young players, I have money. Let's go. Let's go do the hot dog races and here we're gonna win 105 this year. Fans thought that. I mean, maybe you and I didn't think
not
so much of that with
105. No,
pitching,
no one was. No, I think optimism was tempered compared to last year, certainly at going into the season. But everything you just said, I fully acknowledge. But for me, it begins with you got to get this young core back on track. And I think based on what Mike Elias said, he acknowledged that, but he doesn't know how to do it at this point in time. Now, he might figure that out at some point here in the next few months, and they may hire a manager that ends up being what they need, in the way that Buck Showalter came in with Adam Jones, Nick Markakis, Matt Wieters, JJ, that whole group. And it took a couple years, but then, they found their stride and they were a team that made the playoffs and, had one of the best stretches we've seen in the Camden Yards era for Orioles baseball. But, everything else you mentioned, I agree, but
Why not Buck
It's
Britton? Why, you know, and I hear all of these outrageous
yeah.
Bill Ripken
Well, I mean,
and
you're not
Rick
just
Dempsey and, you know, whatever else that would come up.
no. No
Cal
one's saying
Ripken
Rick
running
Dempsey.
baseball
I mean,
operations.
some people might say Bill Ripken. Some people might say Cal. No one's saying Rick Dempsey. I mean,
But what I'm
maybe
saying,
20 years ago they said that, but
whatever it would
yeah.
be, whatever that would be, that would look like paper clips and bubble gum and you know, to bring the stapler out to put it back together to make it look good or image good, which is what the Whistler's been doing with Rubenstein for a year and a half, is doing all this imaging of what it's supposed to look like. It looks like a last place baseball team at this point, and it looks rudderless when your general manager's hiding and your owner, who put himself in front of everything, all of a sudden now wants no accountability for any of this, or to step up and have some sort of strategy, some sort of statement. He talks to everybody about everything except this. He's too busy for this right now. And the Kennedy Center thing's the worst thing that's happened this year in regard to the real world for him, maybe the stock market as well. But this is important. This is important to you. It's important to me. It's important to a lot of people. It's important to everybody at the pool at the Maryland party over the weekend. It's important to anybody that's been an Oriole fan that the ish has stopped with Angelos not being here. And I have a feeling we stepped out of one pile of doo-doo into another pile of doo-doo. And these are the times, these times of trauma, these times of why in the road and which road are we taking? Why, what's the strategy? What are we going to tell the fans? Who's going to tell the fans what and why, so that we keep the fans engaged? Even if in the Ravens case, you know what they do? They just lie. I mean, the Ravens just make stuff up and it goes away like Trumpology does, like things that never happened.
Ravens
That's
win a
how the
lot.
Ravens handle things. They
Well,
just
and
walk away.
but they really handle it by winning a whole lot of games consistently year after year after year. I mean, the Orioles don't have that going for them. They had that going for them for 2 years, and now they're back where, I mean, this team's as bad as every other rebuild team that Mike Elias had right now. I mean, is there a path? You would think on paper there's a path for this to get better as the year goes on. I mean,
Well,
he
the
talked
fire
it.
sale is going to begin, right? I mean, that's really the next step now, is
They
who
only have
is
so
going to
much to sell
draft
off.
players? Well, that's a good point.
But
That's fair.
I mean, you're not trading Gunnar Henderson, like, nor should you. You're not trading Jackson Holliday, nor should you. I mean, I certainly hope that's not the plan, is to go into a full-blown rebuild again. No one wants to hear that. It might come to that if this thing doesn't turn around in the next 18 months or something like that,
But where's
but
the pitching going to come from?
it's a
Because
good
it's not coming
question.
from their system.
I mean, it's, Kyle Bradish is going to be back. Tyler Wells is going to be back. Grayson Rodriguez allegedly is going to start throwing soon. I mean,
These all
there's.
names become suspects, not
Oh,
prospects
Andrew.
for me anymore. Yeah.
Well, Kyle Bradish is more than that. If he's healthy, Kyle Bradish was one of the best pitchers in the American League
I
2 years
watched
ago.
Batista melt down on, you know, like
Okay.
so like I just keep saying,
I
like,
understand, but
thinking
Tommy John
yesterday is
surgery's.
today or tomorrow. That's how you deal for Travis Rogers and or
Trevor
Trevor
Rogers.
Rogers. I know a tragic Travis Rogers, Trevor
Might
Rogers.
as well be
That's
Travis Rogers because he's not
might as
doing
well
anything
be,
in the majors.
yeah, might as well
No,
be Randy Travis.
believe me, I hear you. And this is why,
Digging up bones.
Mike Elias doesn't have any answers right now. And again, he might figure it out. Maybe he'll hire some people here in the next few months that will help him figure that out. I would think if he's learned anything now, it's that they need to take a long look at how they view and approach pitching. It's not as though they have had no success stories in his tenure. That would be unfair, but not nearly enough, not nearly as many as you need to have if you're going to draft the way you do, which, as I've always said, I've never necessarily been vehemently against the idea that you would prefer hitters early in the draft, but you've got to account for that somewhere along the line, whether it's trading those many hitting prospects for quality pitching, whether it's signing, whether it's being a little more savvy in how you develop. How about the fact that we're still kind of waiting to see what the international market, which, to his credit, because this is an organization that did nothing internationally for decades under Peter Angelos, deliberately did nothing. That we're 6 years into that now and still waiting for fruits to be produced. And the international market is a longer game, right? I mean, you are talking about cultivating relationships with 16 and 17 and 18 year old Dominicans and signing them. And that's a longer development process. So I'm not saying that that part of it I'm necessarily shocked by, but it's all of those things combined. But what you ask is a fair question. And that's where I keep coming back to. For me, everything else is almost a non-starter. If, I mean, you've got to get Adley Rutschman back on track. I again looked at it going back to, since July 1st of last year. This guy's been a bottom 10 offensive player in baseball in amongst qualified hitters. You know, guys that are markedly worse
Still have their job. Guys that
aren't in
still
the
are getting
major
at
leagues,
bats, right?
right, or out of baseball, all that.
Still playing 5 days a week.
And they're still hitting them second in the lineup.
Allen lost his mind about the lineup with me. I
Is there
mean, just
something?
like, how can you bat him there when it's been a season of just Mendoza, like
Well,
literally Mendoza?
and part of it is they don't have a lot of good candidates to hit high in the order because their offense collectively is, but they
Westberg
definitely,
would be that guy in their perfect world,
but they
right?
definitely have guys that I would rather hit second than Adley Rutschman. You know, there's five or six guys that I could name that I would rather have hitting second than Adley Rutschman. You know, he hasn't hit any lower than fifth going back to last July when he's been a sub 700, you know, sub 600, sorry, sub 600 hitter since then. I mean, that's
Didn't
how
you
bad it's
sort of
been.
insult them the other day in some way and saying coddling their first round picks or treating them differently or treating them like they're still ones where like somebody else would
I mean,
come in and
some
say,
of
I
them.
don't care where you were drafted, like you need to produce, dude. You know what I mean? I don't care whether you're 1-1, 1-3, whether your name's Kerstad or Kowser or whoever you are, Henderson, like, you know, we got to earn our at bats up here because this isn't your last place baseball team, man.
Well,
You
and
know,
it's
and
what's
that would
odd.
be the kind of tough luck, love, foot up the ass kind of thing instead of what it is right now, where it feels like a whole bunch of guys feeling sorry for themselves.
I mean, yeah, and I did allude to that. And look, I don't know. I don't know if coddled is the right term because we say that about Adley Rutschman, yet look at other guys that, you know, they struggle for a week and, you know, like Kobe Mayo. He hasn't had an extended look. Now, Kobe Mayo's looked bad in very limited small samplings. I'm hoping that the time is going to come. And as far as I'm concerned, it can be sooner rather than later because Ryan Mountcastle is another guy. And I know he just had a hitting streak. Go look at his slugging percentage. I mean, it's a singles hitting first baseman who doesn't walk at all. He
I
plays good
said he's
defense, and
Dave
that's about
Kingman
it.
without the power. Oh, man,
And you know,
that's
I mean,
like
it's
rough.
just, but I look at that, and you know, it is odd to me. And this goes back to what you were just talking about, that you know, how much rope someone like Adley Rutschman gets. And I'm not implying send Adley Rutschman back to the minors, but the fact that he's still hitting in the top four spots in the order, undisputed, no matter how poorly he
Well, and a good
performs.
example would be for Hyde because he's fired now. So it's, I mean, and who you would say that Elias is making the lineups up anyway, or a consortium is doing this anyway. But
It's
how many
collaborative,
of
yeah.
the guys in the lineup, the young guys, how many of them have bounced around the lineup based on where they are right now? Holiday batting ninth when he stunk. Kowser, Mountcastle moves down to 6, 7, 8. You know, like when guys weren't, I mean, and this goes to Mullins, who was batting 10th at one point, right? Like, you know, they would move, they would demote guys in the order based on are you hot or are you not, right? As well as Westberg played his way up, as well as Henderson played his way up rather quickly. It is, there is a special treatment being made here in some way to think like batting him where he is. If they're not a last place team and I'm trying to make an excuse for them, and I've tried to be the good guy so I can get my press pass back, I would say that his confidence level is really important to the confidence level of the whole thing. Let him stay in there. He's a one, you know, like if it's you and me having a meeting privately and we're the manager and the coach, I'd say, dude, leave him alone. Don't embarrass him. Don't push him down. Tonight he's going to get three hits. And you feel that way about him because he's Adley effing Rutschman. I mean, you just do.
I mean, I don't feel that way
I
at
know
this
you don't.
point.
You 2 years ago,
A
you were the best player on the team. He's
year
the
ago, I was saying
godsend. He's,
that.
I mean, you love Adley Rutschman, or you loved, maybe past tense, loved
I
him.
mean,
I mean, but
and look, it's nothing personal. He's been a poor performer for going back since late June of last year. And, you know, we were all convinced that he was hurt. And Can we say that anymore? Or is it just that
So
he's
if you could
completely.
ask Brandon Hyde, give him the saliva test, say, why did you not drop him in the order? What would Brandon Hyde
And
say at this
I
point?
think it would, a lot of it would be the confidence thing you're talking about. I think a
Okay.
lot of it would be what I have acknowledged this year. The approach has been better this year compared to the second half of last year. He's still too pull happy ground balls, even if they're hit sharply to the first baseman and the second baseman, rather than the line drives gap to gap that we saw for, certainly his rookie year in 2023. Now, first half of last year, we saw him hitting for more power. And I think that's part of what's gotten him into this mess, right? Where he became much more pull happy, much more hitting the ball in the air, all of that. So, but let me be clear. I don't want to fixate too much on the batting order part of this. I mean, that's the part of the complaining about Brandon Hyde that was kind of white noise for me personally, much more so than just how they had performed going back to the second half of last year. And this being a team that had such a comeback spirit to it in 22 and 23 and the first few months last year, and how that's just been completely gone. I mean, this team doesn't have a single win this season when they've been trailing after six innings. And I'm not saying that that's a stat that most teams have an abundance of wins, but man, even if you're a bad team, you would have a couple by accident.
Well, it takes big
This
hits to do that, and they
and they
haven't
just don't
had
get
big
that. I
hits.
mean, they're woeful with runners in scoring position. We know that.
And a lot of nights they don't hit the ball at all. You look up at the
Yeah.
seventh inning, they got three hits.
But it's just, I mean, Michael Elias, this organization clearly doesn't have any answers. And he was asked, why has it been so bad? And I think he was truthful in saying, he said in enough words, if we knew exactly what the problem was, we'd have it fixed by now. So that to me screams revamping your process, revamping your coaching staffs, revamping your analytics. I mean, that's a lot
And
of
revamping
revamping.
your confidence as an
Yeah, and
organization
sure,
that you
and
know
that's a.
what you're doing and that Mr. Rubenstein thinks you know what you're doing and that Luke Jones and Nestor and Bo Smolka and everybody else who's beating on them, the Jacob guy that I've never met, all these people beating on them. I mean, ESPN was beating on them. I mean, I'm in sports bars, sports books. I look up. I mean, I was in the cabana at Encore with Bill Cole, and the scroll on PTI was the Oriole disaster coming up next on ESPN,
Yeah.
PTI. I mean,
It's the biggest disaster in baseball this year. And I don't say that lightly because we're talking about a Colorado Rockies team that is historically poor, but everyone thought they were going to be poor. They're just historically poor. This is a team that's very poor that was supposed to be at least somewhat good, even if you weren't buying that they were going to test the Yankees for the division, or even if you weren't buying them being a playoff team. I think the worst of the worst, and I'm not talking people just looking for reaction, but people that had legit concerns and pessimism. I think there was still a sense that they'd be, 500, somewhere in that neighborhood. I mean, at this point, I mean, you look at their winning percentage as they're winding down this Brewers series. I mean, they're on a pace to be a 105, 110 loss
yeah,
outfit.
they're going to have a hard time winning 70.
And I mean, 3 weeks ago, even though their pace was pretty ugly then, if you had said, Luke, are they going to lose 100 games this year? I would have said, no, of course they're not. But as every game goes, every game passes and
I
every
could
day
have owned the
passes
win if I
and
would have
every
known
week
that, you know?
passes,
So.
I'm like, I don't know. I mean, this team's just, in terms of things getting
How much
better.
money I could have bet on that. The Orioles are going to lose 100 games this year. What kind of odds I could have
Oh, I
gotten
mean,
on that?
and that's one of the, I made this point. I know I've made this point online and talking to people, people just in my life. And yeah, if anyone truly thought they were going to be this bad, man, if it wasn't hindsight being 2020, shame on you if you didn't go to five different sports books and bet the under and do whatever else you could do to the bet to make more money. Because I mean, this is just, it's wild. And I've talked about this some. I've talked about the fact that mentally, I'm still baffled that it's this bad, right? Pitching being bad, the injuries. Look, if you told me who they would lose out of their rotation, back in February, Who would be spending time on the IL? You know, Kowser's played all of four games all year. Westberg's missed so much time. Go down the list. You know, if you said all that, I would say, yeah, I'm guessing they're probably under 500. But if you told me they were 17 under and buried and the season's over even before Memorial Day, I would have been shocked by that because I would have said, well, they still have Gunnar Henderson, who
And Gunnar would be hitting 285 right now with 10 home runs, right? And 35 RBI, right? And Rutschman would be batting 256 if it weren't going well with maybe eight bombs and 22 RBIs. And
Yeah, I mean,
you'd feel
just go
good
down the
about you'd
list.
feel, you just would go, well, O'Neill, they gave him all this money and maybe he hasn't been right, but he'd still have eight home runs and maybe be hitting 246. You just look at sort of a middling to low average season for all of the players. That would be considered some sort of malaise for the organization. And the Orioles suffered through that in the 80s. Go back and look
Yeah.
at Cal Ripken's numbers during the Mike Young era and during all of the they weren't all that good. You look, everybody hit 250 and everybody hit 15 or 20 home runs and there was nothing special about anybody and they didn't draw a lot of walks and they were station to station and the pitching wasn't so good and just that I would have thought that that would have been the bottom for them even with the pitching falling apart. And I'm in full agreement with you. I cannot believe how fundamentally awful
I mean, they're
everything is
inept.
from the disposition of this, how it looks, the optics, the bullpen wasn't good to start with. It's a mess. The starting rotation wasn't good. It's abysmal. It's legendarily 1988, Dave Schmidt, Oswaldo Peraza, Jay Tibbs. Like, I don't know what to say, but the pitching for me on the baseball side, it's going to be so hard to patch to get back to the caliber where you can win 101 games, even if you get the hitting right. And I think for me, off the field, I still go back to my biggest concern is my biggest concern, which is where's the leadership and where's the philosophy and where's the expertise and where's the know-how? And honestly, just where are the grown-ups? Just where, I mean, this feels really, really, Greg Bader's still running around the job. I mean, like and they're in last place again. I that part of it, until they figure that part out and figure out whether Mike Elias is the right guy or not, and I don't know the Rubenstein's qualified to do that. That is what worries me as much as who's going to fix Adley Rutschman or they can fix himself, because over the next 5 or 10 years, the leadership, it's just been so fundamentally absent, poor, deranged in many cases over the last 30 years that they just need everything to be optimal. And there's nothing about this, including how I've been treated and just in a general sense for me, that I can say any of this feels like it, these are the right people to fix any of this, because they're sitting there and they're not, they're inactive. We're in the war, we're getting shot at, and you can't find them. And maybe they're not the right generals. You know what I mean? Like, I they really need to be in front of this from a billionaire brand. It's May. We need to keep people in the boat. We need to get some confidence in here. They need Buck Showalter. They need somebody to come in here and put their pants on and lead and front this and fix it. Maybe the way McPhail tried for Angels. I don't know. I keep saying Pat Gillick, Dave Dombrowski. That's thinking like a baseball guy. I'm thinking a whole lot more like a real leadership piece here, and that may or may not be Cal Ripken to be brought up. I don't think it's Cal Ripken, by the way, but something that would not just be window dressing, something that would fundamentally Larry Lucchino, Janet Marie Smith this thing into blossoming again as a business, as keeping people's interest, keeping their confidence, keeping their money. I'm worried about that because everybody's just going to go away and they're going to make news when they deal Cedric Mullins and whatnot. There's no way for them to stay relevant like this, Luke. That's the relevance, the word I'm looking for.
And that's fine, and I don't disagree, but I mean, it starts with, is Mike Elias going to be your guy moving forward or not? I mean, that's really where it starts. Everything you mentioned is valid, and I don't disagree, but there's nothing David Rubenstein can really say right now. And that's not to say they shouldn't be making those attempts, but there's nothing he can really say right now other than, I still have full-throated belief in Mike Elias to lead this thing and figure this out. And or he says nothing because they're planning to can him at the end of the year. And if that's the case, then we'll see if that plays out.
Elias
But
said something in his statement about that, right? About basically like I have to serve the best interest of yours, no
yeah.
matter what my own future. He said something to that effect, and I'm that got me thinking about, you said it
Yeah.
would be suicide for the organization to fire him before drafting, and I said, well, maybe it's not the best thing for having a lame duck GM drafting like Duquette and dealing off all the parts.
I
This is a
mean,
damn if you do, damn if you don't when you're this bad.
yeah, I certainly would not. I would not endorse firing him now before the draft, at the very least. Now,
Nor would
it,
I. Nor would I. I
and
don't know that I would have endorsed Hyde, but somebody's got to pay for it. I mean,
sure.
I
Well,
don't
and that.
think they're a better ship this week than they would have been one way or another. And
Yeah, I mean, that was, that. I mean, someone had to fall on the sword, and we know how this goes historically. It's the manager. And like I said, if you were asking me to rank my 10 reasons the Orioles are in the place they are right now, Brandon Hyde wouldn't have been, might not have been in the top three. But that said, it was on the list because of how this team's played since last summer. I mean, it's just the truth, and lackadaisical and not looking very fundamentally sound and all that. It's a poor reflection on the manager, especially. As I said, coming right out of spring training, when hypothetically those things should be at their best, when you're coming out of spring where there's such a drill down focus on those types of things, the PFPs for pitchers and taking infield every morning and all of that, which you don't do that as frequently during a 162 game season because you can't. You don't have, you can't run these guys into the ground. So you pick your spots when you take infield, and you pick your spots when you're doing those types of drills over the course of the actual season. So to look that way, and that's why I said, and with Hyde, it may have been a case where it ran its course. We've talked about that a lot with head coaches and managers, and there's a shelf life. And that's why when you have someone like a John Harbaugh or a Mike Tomlin, or take your pick of anyone in this at least semi-modern era that lasts as long as they do in any given sport, it's impressive because it's really challenging to keep players engaged for more than 5, 6, 7, 8 years at a time. I mean, a lot of managers don't even get to that point, right? That's why I said, from a human element, I'm glad that Brandon Hyde at least got to taste some success. Because back in November of 2018, when they hired him, we all said at the time, he's Bo Porter, and the Orioles will hire their AJ Hinch when they're hypothetically ready to win and
next thing
contend.
you know,
So,
he and John A. are sipping champagne by the pool.
yeah. Well, it's like I said to you, and this is bearing out even more so as we're a few games into the Tony Mancino era, and things are looking no better whatsoever. Once he gets over the disappointment of it, Brandon Hyde's gonna have a way better summer than any of us watching this mess. I mean, fans at this point are hate watching. I mean, that's what it is at this point. You're watching it and you're ticked off online, and you're arguing with other people online as far as what phase of the team is worse, right?
That sounds like
So
fun.
yeah, I mean, but that's what it is right now. So, but to go back to ownership, we might find out a heck of a lot here in the not too distant future. But first and foremost is going to be, what is going to happen with Mike Elias here? And Elias was asked about ownership's involvement as far as the decision to fire Hyde, and he said that they were heavily involved in discussion. He said that ultimately that's a move the general manager, the head of baseball operations, makes. But when you're talking about a move as grave as replacing your field manager, yeah, ownership's going to be consulted. And that would always be the case, whether you're talking about, a general manager or vice president of baseball operations, president of baseball operations with any team. I mean, ownership's going to be conducted or consulted on a move like that. Whether ownership mandates it or not is obviously something people will speculate about, and whether you know the truth or half of the truth or none of it, it all depends. But
When ownership's giving out a bobblehead and showing up behind home plate and in every ad and making himself the front and doing
and
reality
then he
television,
kind of
showing up in the
disappears.
disco lounge after the game on opening day and telling the players how much confidence he has in them and this great leadership. Where's David Rubenstein?
Good question. My understanding is he was at the game Friday night, from what I understand. So you can take that for what it is.
He's hiding now. He's not sitting down in the stands anymore. Or like, I mean, come on, dude. He's a billionaire. He's 75 years old. He doesn't know better. He hasn't followed anything about sports to know how this goes when the worm turns. Like, seriously. I mean, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to be hiding
I
and to
mean,
have
most
been out in
billionaires
front of
conduct
it.
themselves, though, I would say.
Yeah,
No, I mean,
they conduct themselves with guys like the Whistler around them, telling them anything they want to
I mean,
hear.
I'm just saying in a general sense.
That is a general. That's a very general. Yeah, I have learned this as an adult, that they are not used to being criticized because they're never criticized, and they don't keep people around them to criticize them long enough to criticize them. So therefore, they have a hard time handling criticism, which is why Steve Bisciotti ran away from me with the cigar last year, because they don't want to hear it. And it's not my job to criticize people. It's my job to hold people accountable. Seriously, I mean, and the accountability of the $2 billion he spent and the $600 million of tax money, and what's the stadium's going to become, and the fact that he was doing photo ops with the mayor. I saw Brandon Scott several times over the weekend, and Brandon Scott and David Rubenstein walked into to Coco's on Friday together, and had crab cakes. And Marcella put a picture up, and I saw it. And then I was with the mayor. Well, I wasn't with the mayor Saturday because he was at the race. Because I saw him early Sunday morning. I'm like, dude, you're at the race yesterday, weren't you? He's like, all day long, man. And I went out to dinner on Saturday night, and Brandon Scott and I were out to dinner at the same place. So I ran into him several times. He had lunch with Rubenstein, and I bluntly said, was there anything about like the stadium and the land? He's like, oh no, man, this is just like we're just having a crab cake, getting to know each other. And I'm like, cool, that's all, that enough said.
Look,
The fair,
that's a
fair,
and that's a
that's
good
good.
thing.
That's a
That's a
good
good
thing.
thing.
Yeah, I mean, I but I'm saying that's public. That was out in the middle
Sure.
of Coco's. But then he fired the manager the next morning,
Yeah, and that's
and now you're not seen. That's not, that's
and
just
this
not
is
the
where
way my daddy taught me things. I mean, to be really honest with you.
this is where I just think, again, not to belabor the point, but I'm going to belabor the point because, again, I think it's more than anything, it comes across as disrespectful to your fan base. And you just said it a few minutes ago. We're talking going on two generations now of Orioles fans who've watched mostly bad baseball.
Mostly bad ownership,
Well, but bad
which
baseball,
leads to that. Right, correct.
ultimately,
Yes.
no question, right? But even before Peter Angel, the 10
You
years
can be
before
bad at
Peter Angel is
baseball and good
right.
at ownership. Edward Bennett Williams and Hofberger had, had moments of that. But go ahead. I hear what
I
you're
don't
saying.
like calling owners good when their teams are bad,
Fair enough.
over a long haul. And again, we're talking, Edward Bennett Williams wasn't the owner that, wasn't the owner for 30 years. But to me, it would have been so simple to have a press conference Sunday morning. I'm not sure that there would have been an insane number of media considering the resources that were used Saturday at Pimlico for Preakness, and people probably, I don't think it necessarily would have been such a media, rush that it would have been overwhelming to them. Go in the auxiliary clubhouse, Mike Elias, David Rubenstein, sit down. David Rubenstein can, they both give an opening statement, and David could even say, "Look, I'll take some questions, but Mike's the baseball guy. I trust him. He's in charge of baseball operations. I'm a year into this. As much as I love baseball, I'm not going to sit here and act like I have the answers on how to fix things from a baseball standpoint. So
Dude,
you
they
can
should
ask,
hire you to be their PR guy
but I'm
because this
just
is
saying. But
exactly what they should have
that's
done.
what it would have been. And if he does that, yeah, he would have gotten a couple questions, and that's fine. But most of the questions would have been for Mike Elias then.
Hey,
But
the owner's out in front of
that would have been a
this.
united front. He's sitting there right next to him. And again, you could ask him things, but if you're going to ask him about the players, they're going to be like, "Look, Mike's way more qualified than me. He has my support. I'm here sitting with him. This is a failure as an organization that we had to let Brandon go. I mean, that would not have been that difficult to do that. And look, fans would still be ticked. I'm not sure they win the press conference, but it's at least an acknowledgement and saying, hey, we know this is unacceptable. We know that people are really disappointed right now. We know that it's been 41 years now since the Orioles last went to the World Series. We understand all of that.
It's not performative or perfunctory. It's the right thing to do.
Sure.
That's all. I mean, just for any
I mean,
business,
it's the right thing to do,
it's the
but
right thing to do, like when you get a meal
I mean,
wrong in the restaurant to fix it.
it is.
Like, or attempt to, or at
Most
least.
press conferences are performative. So, like, look, again, it's like I said when he did finally speak in Milwaukee on Tuesday, Elias didn't have a whole lot of to say of real substance other than just stating the Captain Obvious things because he doesn't know right now. It's clear that this organization is looking for answers. It's clear that they are completely baffled. And in defense of them, we all are, right? We all are. I picked this team to win 88 or 89 games. It shows you how dumb I was about this team too. I've made this point in passing, but if you kind of looked at everything that's gone wrong for them, and let's think about it in terms of analytics. These guys run models and predictive analysis and all of that. If you had a bell curve, the Orioles being starting the year 15-32, that's probably in like the bottom 1 or 2% of the worst outcomes that you would project. You would say, yeah, our pitching, which is always going to be a weakness, but Dean Kramer's having a year worse than his career average, Charlie Morton worse than his career numbers, Zach Eflin hurt, go down the list, Kyle Gibson not being able to give us anything to the point where we DFA'd him after four starts. All of that. And then all of our hitters, how many of these guys having, if not career worst seasons, down seasons, right? So many of those things going on. If you looked at it from a predictive standpoint, it'd be on the far left of that bell curve in terms of like the worst case scenarios coming to fruition. So when that does happen, I am empathetic to a degree of yeah, you are gonna. I think Mike Elias is dumbfounded. I think this team and this organization is dumbfounded because they did have something that was going as well as it was going 11 months ago, and then it's almost like it just stopped overnight. And that's where this thing is so odd to
But
me.
it didn't. They had a lot of injury. This isn't even the same team right now. But the guys that are the part of the team, and I said this to Alan. I've done a little soul searching last couple of days because, full disclosure, we'll go total, non-kayfabe. Luke and I stayed on the line in Vegas after we did 2.5 hours of radio. Luke admitted, like, this is really bothering you, like off the
Yeah.
air, like
I
it's
think about this
bothering
team even when I'm not
literally.
working from an intellectual, my intellectual capacity, which, some people would say probably isn't very high, but I
As I
think
look at
about,
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles
yeah,
over your
well,
shoulder.
those are my brothers, in fairness. So, although I did love the Ninja Turtles growing up, and I still have a Ninja Turtles t-shirt that
If
I'll
I
break
can't
out every
laugh
now
in
and then.
last place, what the hell,
But
right? Yeah.
I've said this to you. I mean, I find myself thinking about this team even when I'm not at the ballpark or I'm not doing radio with you or I'm not writing something at BaltimorePositive.com or I'm not even engaged in baseball. And I'm just thinking about it in terms of not like how I thought as a 15-year-old fan who I was just purely a fan and that was it. But I'm stumped that so much has gone this poorly across the board. And yes, the injuries. You can't forecast that. And that's a big part of this. The pitching being what it was, I didn't love their pitching staff going into the season. So I understand that being a big part of this. But I'm dumbfounded why Adley Rutschman has forgotten how to play baseball over the last 10 months, right? I'm dumbfounded by the fact that they have all these other players that underperforming to the degree that they have. I'm dumbfounded that it's just been as bad across the board. I mean, I've used the line, and I don't say this to be mean. I'm talking about this in my 41 years as 41 years on this earth, and 38 of them as a baseball fan, and 34 of them as a baseball fan who could really remember every year of Orioles baseball from like 1990 on. This team exudes no redeemable qualities whatsoever in terms of its performance on the field. It's not anything personal. It's not even saying that like they're not trying. I don't think their focus is very, very good. a lot of times. I don't think they have much fight in them in terms of, I just think they're beaten down so badly at this point that they just feel like, it's Murphy's Law, right? I mean, that's what it feels like with this team at this point.
Well, it
But
started with the pitching, man. It feels like once the pitching confidence went away, that they were losing guys in this time last year when Bradish went down, Means wasn't coming back, and Wells was long gone, and Batista wasn't coming to
they
rescue
still
them.
didn't pitch that poorly last year, though, Nestor. I mean, go back and look. Like, statistically, they weren't
Well, if they had
this.
that pitching this year, they wouldn't be this bad.
I mean, they still wouldn't be very good if their hitting was going to perform like this. I mean, it really is just a house of cards that's just collapsed on itself in every way at this point. And I mean, I don't know what's going to get them out of this. I don't think it's Tony Mansellino, and I don't say that. I mean, I don't know Tony Mansellino that well. The team's playing exactly like they played under Brandon Hyde. We're only a few games into this, as I, pointed out to you in jest. I mean, Frank Robinson, who actually was a pretty good manager, right? I mean, not the same as a Hall of Fame player. He wasn't a Hall of Fame manager in the same way, but Frank won at various places, including 1989 with the Orioles. But he lost his first 15 as Orioles manager after he replaced Cal Senior. I mean, he wasn't turning that around. So, but I don't know. That's where I would have loved to have gained a little bit of clarity from Elias in terms of, are you truly committed to just Mansellino being the interim guy the rest of the year? Because it's a long time. That's a really long time to, if you're so determined to get this young core back on track. And I could care less about the win-loss column at this point in 2025, because they're not coming around
I don't know
to
what a
make the
teaching
playoffs.
manager is at this point. You
But
know what I
that's
mean?
my thing.
Like
Like,
bringing in a guy, a Tito Francona, and I'll throw La Russa Torre, some veteran
just
Jim
think about Buck
Leland
in
kind of
2010,
guy.
though. I mean, they were equally awful under Juan Stamwell as they were under Dave Tremblay in 2010. When Buck came in the first week in August, they went 34-23 the rest of the year. Now, that was not an immediate sign of prosperity, because 2011 happened and they weren't very good in 2011 either. But you definitely saw a change in mindset. And I think it was a manager who brought a different degree of legitimacy and credibility and gaining players' attentions. And I'm not even saying that that's what it has to be, and I'm certainly not necessarily saying, oh, bring Buck Showalter back. But is there someone out there like that is available right now? I mean, Skip Schumacher is unemployed right now. He won Manager of the Year in 2023 in the NL, same as Brandon Hyde in the AL that year. I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm intimately familiar with him to the point where I'm going to pound the table and say that they should hire him.
But
At
they're
the
not going to
same time,
hire a guy who's never been a manager before, as we would talk about in the NFL. But they're in season here, which is way different than
It's
firings
just
in the
such a different
NFL. And oh,
animal.
by the way, this city, from a football perspective, we had the Billick firing and the whole courting of Jason Garrett, but we haven't talked about a football coach being hired or fired. Harbaugh's been in trouble maybe twice, but never really in trouble because he's like a son to the owner. The owner's never going to fire John Harbaugh. We never talk about that. On the baseball side, we never talked about much because he's never had any talent. There's been Buck, Davey Johnson, Buck, and everything else. Maybe Hargrove for 5 minutes for potentiality or whatever. But this is that moment where you're like, well, why are we hiring the manager to analyze the analytics and analyze in lineups that tell us what the computer spits out? Or are you trying to get somebody to give Adley Rutschman some noogies and some confidence and attaboys? And I don't know. In the old world, you always wanted a manager that had a little uncle in him. You know, that's what's portrayed in Major League. You always wanted that veteran Buck Showalter. You wanted the field general, you wanted a leader, you wanted fire, you wanted Lou Piniella, you wanted something that would be that Batista play last week, forget the meltdown, forget Cano before that, forget the bullpen, but just the act of allowing the winning run and the thing that did Brandon Hyde in on Friday night. The act of allowing that to happen has to infuriate the manager. Not so much he comes out and embarrasses the player, but like People have to be pissed off when things are that bad. And I don't want to give the old, office line, but say heads have to roll, right? Like they're it feels somnambulant, dude. I mean, all of these mistakes, all these, it feels like every night they're going to find a way to lose. It feels like if they have second and third, nobody out, they're going to find a way to get a pop out, a hard luck strikeout on a corner pitch and be able to bitch at the umpire or the computer about getting punched out. And then the last guy hits a lazy fly ball, chasing a bad first pitch out of the strike zone, like that. I've seen so much of it and I can't. The mojo, the thing that Rutschman had that felt like that special quality of leadership to be what Shannon Sharpe and Tony Siragusa were on the football team, which was sort of like leadership, veteran leadership that does not exist in this environment right now, the cowboy
No.
up thing.
Yeah, I mean, I just and that's where I look at this thing, and again, I'm not trying to pick on Tony Mancino. He's a third base coach, I mean, he wasn't hired to be the manager. And but that's where I look at this and say, is what is he going to give you that is going to make things better than where things were when you tapped Brandon Hyde on the shoulder, early Saturday morning and said, we're making a change. That's where I look at this and I say, you've got 4 months of baseball left. And again, it's easier said than done. I know you can't just necessarily, I mean, I don't know if there's ever been a scenario where you hire away some team's assistant coach in the middle of a
How
season.
about this, dude? W was Elias on the phone Sunday and Monday talking to people about a real manager? What was he spending his time doing?
I mean,
He and Rubenstein get together Saturday,
that's what
Friday
I'm
night,
wondering.
Saturday morning, and say, "Hey, we're firing the manager. Great. Okay, let's do that at 11 a.m. Let's hide. While we're hiding, what are we doing? Are we trying to
Oh, yeah.
hire a new manager? Are we trying to settle people down? Are we trying? What, are we trying to talk to our players about changing
Right.
manager? Who's doing what? Where are those responsibilities? And is the real story here? I got to make some phone calls out, and we got to find a manager. We got to
Well,
find."
and that's like I said, that's why, this is something that we didn't gain a lot of clarity about on Tuesday. And what would have been one of the first questions I'd want to ask, is Tony Mancino your interim manager for the rest of the year, or is that TBD? Are you going to start at least on in an informal capacity to start looking at candidates for this managerial position?
Well, the butt thing was weird because it did happen in the middle of the year. Because
But
ideally,
that
you'd like
was,
to have the whole pool of candidates at the
yeah.
end of the year
But
to.
even that was 2 months. I mean, Juan Samuel was the interim for about 2 months. I mean, Tremblay was fired like June 3rd, and Buck was hired
I
August
don't mean that
third,
there were
fourth.
three leaders. I just mean finding your guy
Oh, sure.
when he's not already somebody else's employee at this
Yeah, I mean,
point, right? In the
I
middle of the
don't, yeah.
season, that's like firing your head coach and saying, "I'm going to hire Dick Vermeil to coach my team for the duration of this year, and then we'll go get the hot assistant next year."
Oh,
I,
so,
we're,
okay.
we're, you know what I'm
Yeah.
saying? Like the reason Buck was weird, he was unemployed, undesirable. I mean, the reason he got the job is nobody else wanted him, right? Like Bill Belichick at this point in
And he was
football.
doing MLB Network at the time
But you right now, the
for
pool
ESPN.
of candidates right now are unemployed managers, not employed managers who are about to get fired or a third baseman. I mean, you
Yeah.
mentioned Buck Britton. You have anything to say about that? That didn't kind of happen from within, that they don't
Yeah.
like their whole system? Because if they don't like their system, I know who's to blame. The guy who built the system, that's Mike Elias.
Well, I did find that interesting because I think a lot of people were wondering if he would be that guy. I mean, obviously he managed what, double A and triple A for the Orioles. May have man I'm trying to think if he managed even before then. But he's still not that experienced, but at the same time, Tony Mancino. I mean, Tony Mancino is only a year older than me.
Well,
But you
Buck
look
also
at,
knows these guys, and if he's a leader
he
of men to come up,
does.
maybe get the most out of
And
them, or
yeah,
if he's, I don't know much about him,
but I
but.
also wonder if that's even like, is that what you want? You know what I mean? Is that familiarity part of the problem right now? And I don't mean specifically with him, just in general. Do they need fresh eyes on this? That's why, I mean, for me, manager, someone outside the organization. And you bring up an interesting point
The
in
manager's
terms
going
of,
to want to bring his own lieutenants, his own, like all of that
well, they're
managerial stuff. And
yes and
yeah, I'm going to
no.
come take the job, and Manzalino's going to be my third. Am I going to have the same coaches? I'm going to have the same system. I don't know any of these guys in the middle of the year. Now I'm going to lead into next offseason because I got a 4-year deal. I
Yeah.
it's a really awkward thing, man. If it's
I
something
mean, it's
that
definitely.
we haven't talked about a lot on the radio here in 35 years because
Oh.
it's weird.
Well, it's that. Well, and that's why the Buck Showalter thing was unique. I mean, he came in early August, knowing he was going to be here for the long haul. Now, they didn't change. The coaching staff stayed intact. I think Juan Samuel left at that point, and that kind of made sense. But they kept it, and then they made some changes after the season. But yeah, like without that, knowing that, I still just, is Tony Mancelino the right guy just to play out the next 4 months? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's just, this is so disheartening at this point in time, because I don't think they have the answers. I mean, I really don't. I think Mike Elias is at a loss. And now, again,
Then
it's
he
not
needs to
the,
be fired.
and it may come to that, right? It may come to that come September.
This
And
hiding 3 days is just
well,
nice.
sure.
Like, if I own the team, I would run the team at the level that Rick Vaughn and everyone I've ever met who
Understand.
did this work
At the same time,
would say there's front facing,
I
there's
agree.
accountability, there's things that we
I
that
agree,
the Angelos
but that
family
doesn't mean
lowered
you
the
have the
bar
answers at
so
that
much
point in
that
time.
it needs to come back and be when things are bad, we need to be in front of it even more, not hiding from it.
I
That
agree. At the same time, again, they're trying to figure this out. And I don't think he has any answers right now, like meaning May 20th.
well,
That
then
to me,
that's
that.
poor leadership and he should be fired. Or they, David Rubenstein should be working on his next Pat Gillick or whatever he's going to
It
do.
might come to that. I mean, the season's gone poor. Do we. Is Michael, if Michael Elias had the answers, they wouldn't be in the position they're in right
But
now.
they're about to let him draft and they're about to let him trade everybody off.
Well,
Same thing as Manzalino. How long are you going to
you're not
go with a
hiring a
dead
new
end
general
piece?
manager to draft. No one hires a new general manager in May or June,
It's
man. I mean,
crazy, right?
come on, like that part of it.
Good teams don't hire new managers in the middle
When
of
I say
May.
he doesn't have the answers right now, I'm saying that being realistic. Now, he might figure it out. They might be doing self-scouting and introspective work right now, and they might discover, they might, who knows, they might be hiring some consultants behind the scenes trying to figure some things out. I mean, we know the Ravens have done stuff like that. I mean, they brought in Al Saunders to help out their offense 15 years ago or whatever it was. He hung around, Jim Fossil with, going from Matt Cavanaugh to Jim Fossil. I mean, teams do that kind of stuff. But if there aren't answers, if there isn't a clear pathway and runway for this thing getting back on track by the end of the year, then yeah, I'm guessing David Rubenstein will probably, the new ownership group will probably replace the general manager too. But
Well,
in the
if
meet,
we're writing the story of what's off limits at this point, Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman, got to fix him. A couple of the other
got
young
to get Westberg
players.
and Kauser back on the field. I
I
mean,
mean,
they're.
the Mayos and the Kerstats are undealable because they have no value at this point.
Oh,
They're
Mayo,
quad A players until you hear
you got to get
differently.
Mayo up here. He's got to play. He's got to play. I mean,
Well, this is going to be when you start writing
I
your
know he's.
thoughts this week. These are the kinds of things like, what do they need to do now? Because they're a last place team. Anything they do needs to feel forward moving, not feeling sorry for
Right, they
themselves
just
because
need to play
I.
the young guys and let them play. I mean, they just do. And I'm not saying that means you have to DFA Ryan Mountcastle. But Kobe Mayo needs to be here sooner than later, and you just got to play him. And they need to put him at first base, let him learn how to play first base, and it might look ugly. And you know what? You run the risk that maybe he is a quad A player, because that does happen too. And some of this might just be that some of these prospects aren't going to work out to the degree that they thought. And maybe Jackson Holliday is going to be an all-star, and maybe Gunner might not be an MVP, but he's still going to be an all-star. Adley Rutschman, again, I don't know, because this has gone on so long now that I'm starting to wonder, right? And he's 27. You know, you can't talk. You know, Kobe Mayo is 23. You know, Gunnar Henderson will be 24 later this year. And Gunnar's not having an awful year by any stretch of the imagination. He's
Well, my
not.
point would be Kobe Mayo won't be allowed to be as bad as Adley Rutschman has been and still be around.
And
That's
that's.
why Rutschman has been coddled to a degree,
Yeah,
but
it has
coddled
been odd.
also in that he was the real leader of the ship, the attaboy. I mean,
We
I saw him
thought.
go out after the pitcher in the fifth or sixth inning and like do a little rah-rah thing when the game was still in the balance, 3-2 on Tuesday night. But like the rah-rah thing doesn't play when you're not winning, and I get all of that, and you're not playing well yourself. But that was a spirit. That was a special sauce, right? Really,
I mean, I
in the
guess
beginning.
so. I guess so. I mean, you know, I also think some of that stuff sometimes, you know,
You're not a believer,
can be
okay?
more false hustle than you think. And not specific to him. I think some of that stuff can be a little false hustle, but you love it and the optics of it look awesome when what? When that player is a really good player, in the same way that your team leaders can't be the worst players on the team, right? They don't necessarily have to be the best player on the team, but the 26 man on the rock, that's why Kyle Gibson coming back, and as much as they were trying to recapture some of the mojo that he had as one of the team leaders in 23, he won 15 games.
And
And
by the way, he did he not declare that they were dishonest with him about keeping him
no,
around?
you fell for a fake account.
Okay, my bad.
Sorry. There's a I saw it, you know, there's a fake Steve Molesky account out there that,
Oh, is there? I did
yeah,
not know
that,
that.
yeah.
My bad.
So I handled that, but yeah, that's been a thing that's been going around on social media, you know, the joys of Twitter. But you know, it's just, but that was a perfect example. Like Kyle Gibson being back in the clubhouse is great, but when he can't get out of the first inning because his pitching is so horrible, you know, he'd be the first to tell you, like, you know, that's not going to work. That's not tenable. You know, Charlie Morton, you know, guy that has a lot of valuable knowledge and experience to pass on to other players, but you know, if you can't get the job done, you can't get the job done. You know, so it's this is very, very, very messy, and it's bad. It's bad, and that I don't really have the answers. You know, that's why, you know, when I'm sitting there hearing Mike Elias talk, I mean, he's at a loss in a lot of ways. I'm sure. Does he have the wherewithal? Does he have the people around him? Does he have the
Well,
intestinal
Rubenstein's also saying how
fortitude?
much money he wasted. So the Kyle Gibson
Sure.
thing is Kyle Gibson threw 50 pitches and got paid $5 million. You're like, it's just sort of like, dude, I've given you the
Sure.
money. You're supposed to be the
No
expert on what to
question.
do with my money.
No question. And I'm sure part of, even if Mike Elias still has the support of David Rubenstein, let's also recognize these aren't light switches. These are scales. These are dials. And even if Rubenstein still has confidence in Elias, let's call a spade a spade. Is that confidence level the same as it was last June? Of course not. How could it be?
And he also didn't
So,
hire Mike
no
Elias.
question. And that's always the wild card when you're talking about scenarios like this. It's why, you know, Steve Bisciotti
Well,
didn't have.
that's what I would say. There's more upheaval ahead here. Just in
Very
a
well
general
possible.
sense,
Sure.
there's going to be upheaval
Oh,
in
at
regard
the
to managers, management, ownership, and
just a
how
matter
they
of how
handle it
drastic.
is going to be indicative of who they are and define their character. And right now they're failing at more than just baseball. They really are.
They are, but again, you've got to get the baseball part right, or the rest of that, you know, the rest of that's, I'm not saying it's irrelevant, but no one cares if you're a good owner if your baseball team stinks. You know what I mean? Kind of to the point I made a little bit earlier, but you know,
Bobbleheads are on sale right now on eBay.
it's you know, they've got a lot of work to do, and that's why I kind of said I said it, you know, being facetious, but it's also true. Brandon Hyde's the one who, once he gets over this disappointment, he's going to have a really fun, good summer. You know, he's going to spend time with his kids, and he's going to be able to sleep. Whereas Mike Elias and these coaches, this front office, these players, it's a lot of restless nights ahead to try to figure out exactly how you get this thing back on track. I don't think it's impossible because I do still have some belief in this group of young players. I don't think they were complete frauds all along. They clearly displayed talent to get to the point where they are now, but
Man.
you've got to make some not tweaks. I mean, these are major adjustments that need to be made. And like I said, it might be Mike Elias needing to swallow his pride and say, got to hire some people to come in, coaching staff, more experienced coaches. Some maybe there's an assistant GM hire to be made to not replace Sig Meidel, but to go in with Sig Meidel and Eve Rosenbaum and to figure out something that might be a major blind spot, like pitching, and try to figure that
Well,
out.
they have
So
more analytics than they know what to analyze.
maybe there's information overload. Maybe they're looking at the wrong information. Maybe they're not emphasizing the right information. They're so that's why I said so much of this is just you got to get behind closed doors in the warehouse, and boy, you need to have a come to your maker moment in terms of like, we've got to figure this out, or you know what? We're all going to be gone because new ownership, maybe they're still being patient with us, but we know that patience is going to be running out very quickly, as it should, quite frankly. I'm not saying Mike Elias should get 3 years to fix this and to be able to rebuild again. No, that no way. But you've got to start, you've got to find some ways to get the arrows pointing upward. And with at least a handful of things by the end of the year. Is that going to mean a playoff season? No, of course not. It's probably not even going to mean like a 500 season. Can you avoid 100 losses? I mean, great. If you do, whoop-de-doo. But at least get me some more things that are looking like they're back on track, beyond just Jackson Holliday, which is, kind of feels like it's kind of the one big thing to feel good about at this point in time. Some other players haven't, but he's the one. From a developmental standpoint, that you feel good about where he is, but man, they've got to get the arrow pointing upward on some of their other young guys, or I'm not sure there is a pathway for this thing to be salvaged, at least with Mike Elias in charge.
I'm bummed because it got to be fun again and interesting
Oh,
again.
it's miserable. I'm bummed out. I love baseball season, and this stinks. This is horrible to watch. Even some of those rebuild teams, it felt like they had guys that were playing hard and there some guys that, I mean, would come and go, and we'd kind of laugh about them in like the amazing Mets kind of way back in the 60s, right? All the those teams that were kind of beloved, and they drew even okay crowds. Even like I said, this team's just miserable to watch right now because you see something that it's not even recognizable other than just the names on the back of the jerseys that guys that you thought were better than they are. I mean, this stinks. It really stinks.
He is Luke Jones. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Orioles baseball and Baltimore positive.